Chapter 31 The trek back to the homestead was made in half the time as the route they'd taken to get to the village. In part, that was because of the quick pace Tasha kept along with the use of the main road. While she wasn't thrilled with being so exposed on either side, she didn't want to be away from the homestead a minute longer than necessary. All three of those they'd left behind greeted them at the gate. Harris stormed past, still pouting over their earlier conversation, but everyone else was excited to share and swap stories. Amara had made out like a bandit. Her satchel was full of dozens of herb and plant starts she could cultivate in the greenhouse all year round. Elijah joked about losing his grilling patio, but in earnest, she knew he was just as delighted as the others about the influx of new food options. Given the trip's overall success, she was grateful to have gone. Still, the man from before was on her mind. She didn't like the way he and Harris seemed to know each other. If he thought he could bring dangerous people onto her property, he'd be gone before the sun went down. Tasha tried not to let her anger show as Elijah brought her a beer to where she was leaning against the porch, looking out at the road. She wasn't going to worry him with a problem that might not be anything more than a fable created by her mind. They were safe. She believed it for the most part. It was the lingering doubt that made her want to carry a weapon at all times. That, and place a sentry at the front gates. Neither was an option, though. She knew if she called for either, the others would get worried. They had to feel like they were safe. They had to know she'd never let any harm come to them. As she listened to the girls laughing inside, there was a protective peace that filled her.
"You've had a long day. I sure wish we could kick back and watch some television like we did in the old days," Elijah said.
Tasha chuckled and shook her head. "There is still too much to be done. I promise we'll get our lazy afternoons back someday. Until then, we just have to keep pushing through, right?"
"Do you have any idea how proud I am of you? For you to go in there and negotiate with the townsfolk like that really shows a lot of intuition and character, in my opinion. And we can't forget the way you've taken to Harris. Giving him a second chance like that, that's an awful Christian thing to do."
Tasha cringed. "Come on, Pops. You know how I feel about throwing around words like that. I don't like to define my religion."
"Do you believe in God?"
Elijah asked. "You know I do. Where is all this coming from? I thought we put this whole matter to rest a long time ago."
"Yeah, but with times what they are right now."
"Would you stop worrying, Pops? I'm not going anywhere, okay? I'm not going to get shot or mugged or raped or anything else."
"I know you think you're a firecracker, and I believe it too. But people are nasty out there, sweetheart. I don't want to see you get into a situation you can't get out of."
Tasha frowned. She didn't want to tell her godfather about the men in Davenport, but she was starting to think it was the only way she'd be able to prove to him she could handle herself. If telling him about the men in the city would save him from suffering, Tasha felt like she had an obligation to do so. She owed him that much after everything he'd done for her over the years. "Elijah, listen to me. I've been cornered by men before, recently. Two big, burly asshats in Davenport. Neither one of them was alive when we left that city. I'm sorry, but I can handle myself just fine."
"Oh, hell, Tasha. I should have been there for you. I can't believe you've been carrying that weight all this time and didn't tell me."
"I didn't want you to carry the burden with me," she admitted.
"That's what family is for, though, sweetheart. We look out for each other. What about the girls?"
"They didn't see anything. I made sure of it. I had to keep them safe, though, Pops. If I'd left those men alive, they might have followed us here. That was a risk I wasn't willing to take. It's one thing to gamble my own life, but not yours or the girls."
Elijah cringed and shook his head. "You shouldn't have to gamble with anyone's life, not even your own. I'm happy you're back home now, safe and sound."
"Not for long," Tasha muttered. "I still need to get Harley to her folks' place. She isn't going to wait around here much longer. I know she's worried about them. I told her we'd hit the road once I had the homestead squared away."
If you ask me, that sounds like a problem to sort out tomorrow, Elijah said, nodding in the direction of the road. Looks like our delivery's here. I'll go fetch the girls so they can help with the fishing and whatnot. Jeremiah's a good man. He's sure cutting it close, though. I don't think we've got more than a few days before the cold really settles in.
Did you check the almanac? Tasha asked.
Elijah nodded and sighed. It don't look good. We're in for an early winter with a heavy load of snow if the predictions hold true.
Damn, Tasha muttered. I was hoping for a spring winter.
He chuckled as they headed to the gate to meet Jeremiah. The wagon and horse he'd brought in trade were in far better shape than she'd anticipated. Piled on the wagon was a 6-foot mound of exquisite-looking hay. 2 small children sat at the top, each with a pitchfork in one hand, holding the hay in its place and a fishing rod in the other. Behind them was a 2nd wagon being driven by a woman she could only assume was Jeremiah's wife, from the glowing smile and round pregnant belly beneath her thick wool cloak. As the new group waved welcomingly at Tasha and the others emerging from the house, her heart filled with happiness. It was good to have neighbors they could count on to help them get through the winter. She knew between the villagers' resources, the surrounding farms, and their own hard work, surviving the upcoming harsh winter would be less challenging. While she spoke with Jeremiah, Elijah directed the others where to go with the wagon. The kids quickly climbed down and went to work, both young boys baffled by the women who offered to help. In the end, 20 minutes after their arrival, Tamara was getting the new mare settled while the others went to the pond to start catching the other end of the bargain. Despite the familiarity and friendliness of everyone there, she kept a close watch on the apartment above her godfather's garage. Amara had joined the group long ago, but Harris was still holed up in their home, though she watched him peek out once in a while to scowl at the group enjoying themselves by the water.
Aren't you worried about a man like that being so close to those young girls?
Jeremiah's wife whispered to her. Tasha nodded. Trust me, if I could kick him off the land and still have a clear conscience, I'd be doing it in a heartbeat. He's done nothing wrong since I've been here, save for a few times he tried to get fresh and was knocked on his rear.
You're a good person, Tasha Devers, she said.
Tasha blushed. I don't think so. Honestly, if I could turn him out to fight for his life all winter without feeling guilty, I really think I would.
Not me, not with what Jeremiah's told me about you and your godfather. If there's ever anything your group needs, please don't hesitate to call us as friends.
She smiled at the woman and nodded. It was nice knowing they'd formed a new bond with another group. Tasha knew the Amish community was a tight one. Now that they were on good terms with Jeremiah's family, it opened a whole new avenue for bartering and trades. Tasha felt good about the winter ahead.